Church family, welcome to Church News. My name's Ava.
And I'm Caleb.
And we are so glad that you are here with us today. Caleb, what do we got coming up?
Fall small group signups opened this past Sunday, and we couldn't be more excited for what God has in store over this next semester of small groups. Here at Only Believe, we believe that these small groups are specifically designed for you to find freedom and to build lasting relationships with the people in these small groups. So to see all the group descriptions and all of the small groups that are available this semester, scan the QR code on the screen, or you can head out to the Welcome Center just to see them there. We hope to see you in a small group this fall.
If you're ready to take your next steps here at Only Believe, Growth Track is the perfect place to start. You can sign up by scanning the QR code on the screen or heading out to the Welcome Center in the lobby and getting signed up there. Growth Track happens every first Sunday of each month, right after church service, and it is a perfect and great opportunity to find out more about who we are as a church, our history and our vision, and how God uniquely gifted you. And you can learn how to use those gifts to make a difference. And it's the perfect opportunity to say yes to becoming a member of Only Believe. And there is lunch and childcare provided, so come ready to connect, grow, and to take your next steps.
Hey, church family. Today, I get to bring you our volunteer highlight. And the man that I would like to highlight is Tim Lunds. And he is a very faithful member of our Kids Church Dream Team. And he is great at helping to keep order in the classroom and to hang out with the kids, keep them safe. He does a great job and we're thankful for him. But one other area that he serves very faithfully in is giving to Peter Gostek Ministries and to our missions work overseas. He has a great big heart for the kids and he buys up lots of toys and school items and clothes that we take with us overseas to give to our kids when we visit the orphanages and the schools. So Tim, we are so thankful for you and how you give to the kingdom, and God bless you.
Have you decided to follow Jesus but don't know what your next step is? Well, your next step is water baptism. Water baptism is a way that you show that you have committed your life to following Christ. It is an outward expression of an inward change. This is why the Bible tells us that it's through baptism that we are participating in the life, death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus. If you are a follower of Jesus and have not been baptized, we highly encourage you to do so. For more information, or if you'd like to sign up, you can scan the QR code on the screen or head out to the Welcome Center in the lobby. We can't wait to watch you take this next step.
Hey guys, this is Joe McGee. We've been traveling across America for the last 25 years doing seminars on marriage, parenting, men, money, and family. We're coming to your church. God has a great plan for you and your family, and we're going to help you get there. You do not want to miss it. It's going to be a fun time. See you soon.
It's that time of year again. Operation Christmas Child is here, and this is your chance to be a part of something powerful. We are asking each family to fill one box full of toys, hygiene products, and school supplies. These are not just gifts. These are a doorway to spreading the love and the gospel of Jesus to children all around the world, many hearing it for the very first time. And of course, you can fill as many boxes as you desire, but we are asking each family that are able to fill at least one box. And if you're not able to fill a box, you can donate, and we will use your donations to buy supplies for our church-wide packing party. To buy a box, we have a table set up in the lobby that you can head out to that have boxes just for $1. And you can bring your already packed boxes to the lobby anytime between now and November 9th. Let's spread the gospel one box at a time. And don't forget about our packing party on November 9th.
And as always, for more information, or if you have any more questions, you can head on out to the Welcome Center in the lobby, and our team will do the best they can to help you out there. Now, let's prepare our hearts and minds for the message today.
Thank you. Hallelujah. Good morning again. It's a good morning because we're alive and well. Praise God. All right. We're still talking about the chat. Somebody say the chat. Ah, come on, y'all. The chat. That's right. The church. We're continuing our series. We are now on week number 3 of the church. And Pastor Nicole started it. She'd started on what is the church last week. She continued with the purpose of the church. And today we are going to be talking about the outward impact that the church has, or if it has any outward impact. So that's what we're going to be talking about today. Now, who is the head of the church? That's right. Jesus is the head of the church. And who is the church? We are. All right, you guys are learning something. That's awesome. So we are the church, and Jesus is the head of the church. Who's the head of the family? I am. Somebody said, I am. That's right. Well, if you're married, you know, yes, the husband is the head. So praise the Lord. Okay, we'll have to do some work on that, I guess, a little here in the future. Praise God. But anyhow, now, within this body of Christ right here, within this assembly, we have lots of different types of personalities. Lots of different types of personalities. And it's great. A big assembly, lots of different types of personalities. So I know that in here somewhere, we have some introverts. So, and now, of course, the introverts are not going to raise their hand and say, I'm an introvert, because that's what introverts don't do. All right. When I looked at the dictionary, it's someone who generally prefers solitary activities and social interactions that are less frequent and often involve close friends. So that's what an introvert is. You could say that they find large crowds and social events a little draining. Some introverts are. So now, also in here, we have some extroverts. So all you extroverts in here say, hey, 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 hey. There you go. Now we know who all the introverts are, because they're sliding down in their pews. You know, so, whoa, this is too much for us. So we have some introverts. We have some extroverts. An extrovert is a person who tends to gain energy from social interaction. So, and it is, they're often, of course, outgoing, they're talkative, they enjoy being around other people. I kind of think I might be a little bit of an extrovert, just a little bit. But then I was talking to some of the staff Thursday about what I'm going to be talking about, and I find out that there's more than just introverts and extroverts out here. There are also, wow, people that are extroverted introverts. I'm like, an extroverted introvert? They said, yes, Pastor Eddie, extroverted introverts. These are people that, of course, they enjoy social interaction, but they also need some solitude. And no, that's my wife. So she has become an extrovert, but she needs that solitude. She needs to go back in that dark corner with no lights on, reading a book and growling, I guess. I don't, you know, by herself. So she is that. So if we have that, an extroverted introvert, then we also have in here some extroverted extroverts. Uh-huh. Yeah. Yes. And when I looked up what is an extroverted extrovert in the dictionary, all it said was, help us, Jesus. I'm teasing. It didn't say that. So I think that I am an extroverted extrovert. Amen. I think that's what I really am, you know? Exactly. So, and here's the deal. There is nothing wrong with any type of those personalities. God created them. God created you with them. You're not strange. You're not ridiculous. You know, you are who God made you. If you're an introvert, you're an introvert. It's fine. Extrovert, you're an extrovert. If you're an extroverted extrovert, you might have some problems. You might need some medicine. Unfortunately, my mom and dad didn't give me any. So that's why I turned out the way I turned out. But it's all okay. As people, there's nothing wrong with these types of people. Some people process things inwardly. Some people process things outwardly. That's fantastic as individuals. But is it good for the whole body of the local church to take on the cultural of inwardness? inwardness? Should the church be introverted? Completely. All the time. Is it good for the church to continually be concerned about what's happening in the church only? Only do things inwardly for the congregation? Should we base all of our energies and events and programs and everything we do within the four walls of this building? Should we do that? Okay, all right. Now, there's an aspect of church life where we are concerned about what's happening within these walls, and that's perfectly normal, and yes, it needs to happen. But as leaders and shepherds, we are to equip you, say me, the saints, here I go again, I try not to cuss on this pulpit, but it just sometimes it comes out, but here we go again. We equip you for the saints, yes, for you, for the work. Oh, there's that word, there it is. There's that Christian cuss word, for the work of the ministry. You are to be working in the ministry. Some of you didn't know you're ministers. Every one of you are. And you're to be working, and we're supposed to equip you based on Ephesians 4:12. We train and empower you to serve and build up the rest of the body of Christ. That is one of our jobs. Now, Nicole taught on this last week a little bit in 1 Corinthians 12, verses 20 and 21, that there are many members, yet one body. So everybody here is a single member, but together we are one body. And the eye cannot say to the hand, I have no need of you, nor the head to the feet, I have no need of you. Verse 25. There should be no, this is a weird word, I think, schism or schism, I think it says schism, in the body, which means division or opposed sections. So this section shouldn't be upset at this section, or this section with this section. In other words, I don't think God's really happy with church splits. I don't think he smiles on those things. No. We've never had one here in 44 years, and we'll never have one here in the next 44 years. Not going to happen. We should all care about each other. There should be no schisms in the church, but that the members should have the same care for one another. The same care. Verse 26, and if one member suffers, all the members suffer with it. And if one member is honored, all the members rejoice with it. What was the prophecy we just had from Nicole this morning? That we are all one. One body in unity. That's what we are. At least in this local church, that's what we are. I can't help the others out there, but in this local church, that's what we are supposed to be, and we will do what the Bible says. As the church, the body of Christ, everybody in here has a job. Another Christian cuss word. A job. And none is greater than the other in God's eyes. It's not. And it shouldn't be in our eyes either. So we all have a job as Christians. And some of us out here today have not punched that time clock in a long time. I love you. Okay. We provide you with the necessary resources, knowledge, and skills to do your jobs and fulfill the work of the ministry in the church, yes, and beyond the church, beyond the four walls of this church. We try to equip you to do those things, moving you from just passive, introverted pew sitters to active discipleship, where after you find freedom, then you can discover your purpose. And when you've discovered your purpose, then you can make a huge impact and a huge difference, yes, within the walls, but with outside the walls of this house. Amen. That's it, in a nutshell. That's what we are supposed to do. Praise the Lord, hallelujah. Then here's the deal. We also will provide you with what they call an assessment if you're not sure what your gifting or your talent is. It's another thing that we provide. When you guys go through our growth tracks and want to become a member of the church, one of the things we do, besides tell you the background and what we do here and what we're going to do and all the things we do, is we give you an assessment to find out, what is my job? What are my giftings and my talents? I mean, you might think that you're a hand, but guess what? You might just be a big toe. But what did I just say? The big toe is just as important as the hand. And in God's eyes, they're the same. They're both important. There's no difference, and there's no difference in our eyes either. But that gift assessment will help you figure out what you really need to do and want to do so you can have what I call your dream job in the church. You know, a dream job isn't a job. If you love what you're doing, it's really not a job, people say. But really, the thing is this too, is when you do that assessment, and if you do it right, when we add it all up, probably 99% of your giftings will be in kids' ministry. Hallelujah. I'll make sure I take Pastor Jared, our children's pastor, make sure he takes me to lunch tomorrow for that plug. So, hallelujah. Praise the Lord. But that's what those assessments do. And it's good, and it helps us. But we are to use our gifts and talents within the walls of the church, but ultimately outside the walls of this church. We have to become the extroverted church if we're not already that. Amen. And I believe this church is that. But we're going to be that even more. Now, I said last Wednesday night that a lot of times the local church takes on the personality of the pastors. And of course, your pastors have two really different types of personality. We already know I am the extroverted extrovert. And so sometimes my visions go way beyond me. I want to do this and this and this and this and that. And of course, I want to think outside. I want to do this and that. And then of course, Nicole, being the extroverted introvert, she, yes, thinks about outside, but she also thinks about inside as well. So I think you guys have a great balance here, because we balance each other. We're not all one way, we're not all another way, but we complement each other, and we're both ways, and that's good, and we need to have balance. Okay, good deal. But there are a lot of local churches that fall into the pattern of the introverted us, Lord, and no more. They do. And we see these people. Sometimes they don't want to change. They don't want to do anything different. They don't come to church for any other reason. And they only come to church if there's nothing else going on. So that's pretty bad. Those type of people will do that. I understand priorities. I understand that God's first, your husband or wife are second, your kids are third, your job is next, and then the church in the right ranking of priorities. That's kind of how it goes. But Sunday, it's 2 hours is what most people only get any type of spiritual anything. It's 2 hours on a Sunday morning. And yet we schedule everything else first. I'll go to church if I don't have this, 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 or this. In my opinion, it should be the other way. This is going to be stuck every Sunday on the calendar. And we're going to do everything around church on this day. You know, well, if we don't have wrestling, then we'll go to church. Ah, pooey on your wrestling. Well, my kid, they started T-ball and it starts at 11. T-ball, wee ball. That's ridiculous. It's insane. Do T-ball in your backyard with your kid. You know, dads, do something, you know. Don't let the coach do everything. Go to the coach when you're sick. Maybe they'll lay hands on you. You know? All right? Now, my kid was a pretty good baseball player. Above average. You know, I'm not going to say he was fantastic because he did knock a light out from my house for pitching. He knocked a hole in my garage door for pitching. So, you know, he hit a lot of kids for pitching. I thought, dear God, I'm going to have to fight dads every time he pitches. But he was probably a 3/4, he was that good of a baseball player. The dude had an arm, he could outrun everybody, he stole bases, he was a great outfielder. But when it came to church, I told the coach, he's going to church first. That is a priority. Well, jeez, okay, Mr. Waters, well, you know, what about if we're winning? I said, I don't care. I said, he'll be there late. So if you don't mind that he's there late, I said, then he'll be there at 12:30, 1 o'clock, whatever. But he's going to church first. That is our priority. I don't care how good he is. Now, I did make some concessions because, you know, we can't be completely, you know, one-sided. So if they were in a tournament and they were winning every tournament and this was the grand finale, okay, fine, and it was in Cleveland, Ohio, okay, the coach has come to the house picking you up at 10 a.m. on Sunday morning and you're going. Have a good time. Love you. Do your best. So I would make some concessions. But church was the priority, and the coaches all knew it. Amen. If they didn't want you to play, well, too bad, coach. Then I guess that's that. And right now, he's 20. He hates baseball. So, gee, that did a great deal. He had a buddy who started at 6 years old as the catcher. He became the top third catcher in Ohio. And we saw his dad at Sam's Club here not just too long ago. The dude was amazing. I mean, he towered over the kids. He was big. He looked like a Cincinnati Reds baseball player. And Cincinnati Reds and some of the guys, they were watching him and looking at him and everything. 6 years old. Man, that dude, that family never went to church Sunday, blah, 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 blah. It was crazy. We talked to him and said, hey, how's your son doing? Is he going to be on the Cincinnati? No, he just set up one day and he said, I'm tired, and he quit. I said, he did what? You guys traveled the country with this kid for years, and he was top three in Ohio as a catcher. He was looked at by national leagues, could be making hundreds, millions, $10 million, and he got up one day and he said, I'm done. He said, yep, he did. I said, well, that was all for nothing. Look at all the church time you missed. Hallelujah. Okay, I'm done with that. But my point is, church should be first. It should be first. So, anyhow. And then we do come to church. We come in 10 minutes late. And we leave 15 minutes early. You know, and sometimes I'm like, okay, yeah, there's maybe, you know, maybe your mom's dying and you need to go see her. Okay, so you leave 15 minutes early. I get it. I understand. You know, but who knows what's going to happen? We may be giving gold bars out at the end of every service. And you've missed several, you know? But more important than gold bars is, what about the faith that we might need from you when somebody's sick or when somebody needs something, or we're coming together as a body? We need you. That kind of stuff happens. And then when we do come into church, the attitude is a little off. It's like, well, I need this. I need that. I'll tell you what, that coffee better be hot when I get over there. That praise and worship, I want to hear every song that I like when I get in there. When I walk in there, that pew better be empty where I sit. And let me tell you what else. It's so hot outside, that AC better be running cold. Because it's all about me. Sometimes that's the attitude that we have. Now, I'm not going to ask you if that's the right attitude or the wrong attitude, but I will say this. We are not customers here. We are not to be consumers all the time at church, at the assembling. It's not who we are and what we're supposed to be. Now, we want people to feel at home, yes. To feel that you belong, yes. We want community within the walls here. We want God to move in our services. We want to be touched. We want something to happen. We want an experience from God to heal us, to set us free, to deliver us. Yes, we want a word, hallelujah, great prophecy and great encouragement like we had today. We want you to feel safe here, but the church is not a cruise ship. Or maybe it is. It's not about us. It's not about you. Well, I have to have this and I need that. And man, I need to be comfortable. And boy, it better be this and that. There's nowhere in the Bible that is about us all the time. About me all the time. That's not who we are. The church should be like an aircraft carrier. Everybody knows what an aircraft carrier does, right? aircraft carrier goes out, does the job, and when it does what it's supposed to do, it comes back in. We as a church go out, take what we know, take what we've learned, go to our communities, go to our cities, go around the world, preach the gospel, help people, lay hands, witness, do the work of the ministry. And then we come back in, we refuel. Amen. Come on, we refuel. We give God praise for who He is and what He's done. We do those things. Come on, we worship, we fellowship, we do community. We get more ammo, edification from the preaching and the teaching. We rest, and then we go back out and we do it all again. And it's a cycle, a continued cycle that does not stop. The church should be like an aircraft carrier and not a cruise ship. Hallelujah. Now, let me show you what this looked like in the first century church. So if you have your Biblia, which is Swahili for Bible, as they say in Africa, turn to Acts, the second chapter. And we're going to start in verse 2. Acts 2, 42. Actually, we'll start in verse 42. And we're going to read all the way down to verse 47. Oh, Jesus, it's 11:10 already. Good God. Okay. And they continue steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship, in the breaking of bread and in prayers. Then fear came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were done through the apostles. Now all who believed were together and had all things in common, and sold their possessions and goods, and divided them among all as anyone had need. Verse 46. So continuing daily with one accord in the temple and breaking bread from house to house, they ate their food with gladness and simplicity of heart, praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord added to the church daily those who were being saved. We break this down. The early church continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine, number one. They preached on the gospel of Jesus Christ, including the death, burial, his resurrection, the importance of repentance. They baptized people. They did all those things, receiving the Holy Spirit, the evidence, hallelujah, of tongues. They did all those things in the first century church. So they steadfast in the apostles' doctrine. Then it says they fellowshipped. They supported each other. They made themselves accountable, built relationships within the church. And then it says they broke bread together. In the first paragraph, that means they did communion like we did today. It's like Jesus taught them to do. And then it says many wonders and signs were done through the apostles. They performed miraculous acts like healing the sick, casting out devils. That was the evidence of God's power and authority supporting the message, supporting spreading the gospel, the good news. These miracles served to authenticate their ministry and draw people into believing in Jesus. That's what the first church did. They had all things in common, it said as well. They shared their possessions and resources with one another, particularly to support those in need within the community. It was a voluntary expression of unity, of love, and connection and concern for other fellow Christians, reflecting the teachings of Jesus about caring for others. It was a spontaneous act of generosity, and of course, it was communal, and they were in communal living at times. It was beautiful. Now, those of you, of course, Ms. Nicole taught on the tithing today. Those of you that believe, though, hey, the tithe is old covenant. It's under the law. We're not under the law anymore. We're under grace. Fantastic. Beautiful. I love it. I will agree with you under one aspect, that you do then new covenant giving. Oh, what did it say they did in the new covenant giving? Oh, they sold their possessions, their goods, and so forth and so on. So next Sunday, when we bring out the offering buckets, just bring the deed to your house and put it right in there. Your car titles, bring them all in. Put in the offering buckets. All them extra couches you never sit on, sell them at a garage sale and bring that money in here and put it in the offering buckets. And man, we will triple, quadruple all of the things we do for our community. Man, I'll tell you what, we will triple all of the overseas stuff that we do. We'll build 10 times as many wells where people are dying because of no water overseas. Woo, man, we will take care of every need in this place. I tell you, it will be amazing. Wow. We'll do all kinds of stuff. Wow, it sure is awful quiet in this Holy Ghost-filled, Pentecostal, charismatic, non-denominational church now. That 10% don't look too bad, does it? Hallelujah. Well, as Pastor Dosek used to say, moving right along. Time is running out. All right, we're down to verse 46, aren't we? Okay. Well, that went over like a lead balloon, you guys. Man, jeez. I think it was a point well taken, yes? Amen. But that's still what they did in the New Covenant Church. Okay. Verse 46 said they continued with one accord in the temple. So they did what we are doing now. They assembled together as one local body. This is what the early church did. They broke bread from house to house, eating food. That's what Christians do best. We eat food. We do have some home groups where we eat together and fellowship together and laugh, but we also do small groups as well. I think small group signups are happening right now, right? Perfect. That was another good plug. Ashley, you owe me lunch Tuesday. So go out there if you want to be in a small group. Look at the list of happening. Sign up, and they start soon. They're amazing. Amazing things happen in small groups. It's beautiful. Then the Bible says they had favor with people. That would be the people outside the church, the world. Apparently, the people saw the light in the believers, and the believers did what was right and lived like Jesus, and they had good character. And so they had favor with the world. Wow, you don't see that every day. They were both introverted and extroverted, and God added to the church daily those who were being saved. Wow. Praise the Lord. That's amazing. That was a place to shout right there. Or clap. Or raise your hands. All right. Most churches just want to grow in numbers. Okay? There was a church that had a sign that sat outside in front of the church. It was a big sign, and it said, "Come help us grow." Okay, at first that sounds okay, but when the church shut down, it didn't sound so good. Why didn't that work? Because the world, 99.9% of the time, isn't voluntarily going to come walking to you in this church. Right. We have to go out into the world. Those poor people couldn't figure it out. And the church doors shut. And that's sad. We don't need less churches. We need more churches. And it's so sad. Good Bible-believing churches. Let me say that. All right. Here's the deal. If the church isn't changing, if the church isn't growing, it's dying. And when I say changing, I don't mean the gospel. All right? It never changes. It's the same yesterday, today, and forever. But within the walls, what we do, how we do it, when we do it, if that isn't continually changing, then we're not growing. We're dying. It's just a fact. It's just a fact. The reason that the first century church grew in numbers was because they were outward focused and grew in influence. And grew in influence. The world tasted and saw Jesus through the church, through its extrovertedness. If that's a word, it is now. Add it to my new dictionary. We have to continue to be an infectious, outward-focused church, and being outwardly focused isn't just what we do, but it needs to be who we are. Amen. Who we are, because it was what Jesus did. Yes. It's exactly what he did. Jesus preached in the temples from time to time. Yes, he preached in the churches from time to time. He did that. We even get one account where he was 12 years old in the temple, learning. I don't know if he was in kids' church or if he was in the adult sanctuary. Doesn't say. He was 12. He's probably in the youth, I guess. Okay. But he was learning. That's the only count we get. He was where? In church. 12 years old. Hallelujah. But his ministry was mostly outward. Outward. The apostles also followed in Jesus' footsteps. Remember what we just read in Acts where we said the apostles did many wonders and signs? Well, the book of Acts records lots of miracles that took place. But it's debated on how many miracles actually took place within the walls of the church. Some say only one. Some say a couple. But it's verified that over 39 miracles in the book of Acts was not in the church. It was outside the church. Outside the church. How many miracles took place in the church when Jesus was here? Some. But 90% of them was outside the temple, outside the church. And that's our template, guys. That's our template. That's what we should be doing, how we should be acting. But even though that is our template for today, some say, but what about the church versus today's culture? Okay, I get that. But in 1 John 17, verse 14, it says, Jesus prays for his disciples, stating, they are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. Okay, all right, thanks Jesus for that. This passage emphasized that while Christians live within the world, they are not to be defined or controlled by its values and its systems. We get that. And then in 2 Corinthians 6, chapter 6, verse 17 and 18, it says, therefore, come out from among them and be separate, says the Lord. Do not touch what is unclean, and I will receive you. I will be a father to you, and you shall be my sons and daughters, says the Lord Almighty. All right, that verse emphasizes the need for believers to distance themselves from ungodly influence and practices. So we as Christians are not of this world. We are to come out from among the world, right? Is that what it says? That we are supposed to not have fellowship with the world? Doesn't say that. No, it says don't have fellowship, unfruitful works of darkness is what it says. And that's in Ephesians 5:11. So we have to stay away from the bad stuff. But yet, Jesus says in Matthew 5:13 that we're the salt of the earth. And then Matthew 5:14, you're the light of the world. Let your light so shine before men. That word men means ungodly people and godly people. Yep. That they may see your good works glorifying your Father in heaven. And then we're supposed to go into all the world and preach the gospel. So how is the church, are we to be holy, separate, and yet be a part of the world at the same time? Or go into the world at the same time? How are you to be the salt and light in this worldly culture that we live in? Now, it was probably bad back then. Today, it's bad as well. There are things that happen now that didn't happen then. It's nasty out there. It's bad. But God gave us this example. We have to do both of these things simultaneously. Okay, it's going to be great. How do we stay away from the world, but as the church, an extrovert, and use our gifts and talents toward the world? Wow, a lot of stuff here. But thank God for more examples. And it happened, this one, in the Old Testament, Jeremiah 29th chapter, verse 4. It says, thus saith the Lord of hosts, God of all Israel, to all who were carried away captive, whom I have caused to be carried away from Jerusalem to Babylon. Build houses and dwell in them, plant gardens and eat their fruit. Take wives and begot sons and daughters, and take wives for your sons and give your daughters to husbands, so that they may bear sons and daughters, that you may be increased there and not diminished. And seek the peace of the city where I have caused you to be carried away captive. What? And pray to the Lord for it. Again, what? For it's the peace, for in its peace you will have peace. For thus says the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, do not let your prophets and your diviners or diviners who are in your midst deceive you, nor listen to your dreams which you cause to be dreamed. For they prophesy falsely to you in my name. I have not sent them, says the Lord. For thus says the Lord, after 70 years and are completed at Babylon, I will visit you and perform my good works towards you and cause you to return to this place. The children of Israel were exiled by God to Babylon because of their sin. God did this to them because of their sin and turning away from God. But God gives a message to the prophet Jeremiah to give to the children of Israel as they were being captured and led away from their home into Babylon, a godless society. They were taken to a foreign city of sin and told to live a normal life there. Okay, you and I are living in the world of sin and ungodliness, and yet it's not our home. We are pilgrims here, temporary home of ungodliness and sinfulness. We live in this world. They were to pray for peace of the city, and then they would have peace. We are to pray for peace among nations and pray for our leaders. and pray for the sinners in this world that they would hear the gospel and come to repentance. They were to be the light in Babylon. We are to be the light in this world as well. Listen, Daniel helped out a worldly king in a foreign land, and he was the light and never gave in to sin. What about Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego? Or as we say in children's church, my shack, your shack, and a bungalow. All right? They worked for a worldly king in a foreign land and was a light and never bowed to their sin and false idols. Never did it. You and I, with the help of the Holy Spirit, who will never leave us, will help us continue to engage our communities with good works and the good news. He's with us. He's here right now. And he helps us. 1 Peter 2:11, beloved, I beg you as sojourners and pilgrims, abstain from fleshly lusts, which war against the soul, having your conduct honorable among the Gentiles. That's good. That when they speak against you as evildoers, they may, by your good works, which they observe, glorify in the day of visitation. Matthew 5:16, let your light so shine before men, the world, and that they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven. Romans 10:14. How then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe on him whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach unless they are sent? How beautiful are the feet of those who preach the gospel of peace, who bring glad tidings of good things. Now, I'm sorry, people, but that verse doesn't mean that it's just the preacher that spreads the gospel. Sorry, you're not off the hook. It means that hearing comes from preaching, and preaching is necessary for people to hear the gospel. That's what that means. In closing, my question to you is this, another simple question that I always ask you guys. The local church exists for who? Who does the local church exist for? Its members? You? Or does the local church exist for those that are not its members? Good answer. It's both. The local church exists for both. We are both introverted and we are both extroverted as well. Here's the deal. I want to know that if Only Believe closed its doors tomorrow, that our surrounding towns would put all their flags at half staff, and they would put a note out to everybody in the tri-state area that we are all doomed. I'm being over here. I'm being extroverted right now. Or extroverted right now. My point is this. I want our communities to notice us and have favor with us, just like they did in the first church, just like they did in Babylon. I want them to know us. I want favor with our communities. We should be doing so much outreach that our cities call us when they need something. That happens in other churches. The cities call the church. Wow, that's awesome. That's powerful. What a light that is in their communities. And I want to be just like that. And I hope you do as the body as well. But we all have a job to do. We all have work to do. Every single one of you have a Christian time punch card. I've never worked in a factory my whole life, so it's a punch card. Y'all have one. Spiritually, you have one. If you've given your life to Jesus, you got one. And there's work to be done. Y'all have a gift. Y'all have talents. There's something that you need to be doing. So I want everybody to stand up real quick. Hallelujah. And we're going to do something simple today. But before we do, as always, I want to ask you today, if you're here and you've not heard about Jesus, you've not received Jesus as your personal Savior, we had a young, probably in her 20s, a couple weeks ago, a young girl who came here never heard about Jesus. She's local. Now, I go overseas and where they ain't never seen no white guy before in places. I understand there, but wow, just down the road? And she gave her life to Christ. Praise God. Hallelujah. That's beautiful. Yes. Amen. Yes. But if you're here today and you have never heard about the gospel, or you have, but you've just said, nah, not right now. I got time. I got plenty of time. No, you don't. We're not promised tomorrow. Well, I'm only 25 years old. Well, if you died at 30, you're really old. If you're 50 and you live to 100, you're young. So we don't know how much time we have. I just want you to be right with God. But it's all voluntary. No forcing of any kind. Jesus will stand and knock. As long as you got breath in you, he will. But if you here today say, you know, Pastor Andy, yeah, it's time. I need to get my life right. I want to receive him today. Then just raise your hand and we're going to pray for you. Anybody in the hizzy, raise your hand. Don't be shy. Don't be an introvert. It's just a hand. Anybody at all? Anybody at all? Okay. I'll tell you like I tell everybody. If he comes, my key's under the front mat at home. Feed my dog. Her name's Ginger. Where's the safe again? How much money we got at home? Well, I don't know. You're going to need it. Hallelujah. Now I want to do something simple. There are many members here in this one body. Each of you have a part to play inside the church and outside the church. And I want to anoint each and every one of you, if you want to be anointed, thanking God that the Holy Spirit will help enable you to fulfill your purpose with power and effectiveness. The three things we are going to say over you is this: God, we thank you for giving them boldness, we thank you for giving them power, and we thank you that they will be an effective witness for you in whatever area you have them to do, wherever they are, every day. That's it. That's all we're doing. So, Pastor Phyllis, if you want to come over here. Nicole, come over there. You got some oil on you, Phyllis?
Yeah.
It didn't come out of your hair, right? It came out of the bottle? Okay. That's my mother-in-law, guys, if you didn't know, if you're new here. So you got to have fun with your mother-in-law in Outlaws. All right. I'm going to be in the middle. If you want to come down and have hands laid on you real quick, just go to one of us, and we're going to do this. And again, we're praying for boldness. We're praying for power, and that they will be an effective witness in Jesus' name. Come on, man, go ahead. Do your thing while we're doing this. Thank you, Father. Thank you.